we're going to win the game. I guarantee it.
Because I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
The Men's Warehouse.
You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
Well, good morning, church family. How's everyone doing? So glad that you are here. And if I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Jordan. I'm one of the pastors here. It's an absolute privilege to share God's word with you this morning. You know, you picked a great time to be with us because just this last week, we kicked off this sermon series called Guaranteed. And so what we're doing in this is we're learning together the power of claiming the sure promises of God. Now, God's word is filled with amazing promises for every area of our life. You know, if you were to sit and look through and read through all of Scripture, it would take you several days to count all of those promises God has given us. There's over 3,500 of them. And don't worry, we're not going to go through all of them today. We'll get you out on time, I promise. But what we are going to do is we're going to talk about one of the most amazing blessings that God gives us, and that is the promise of His peace. Now, by a show of hands, how many here have ever thought this thought or been so bold to at least say it out loud? Man, I wish I could get some peace and quiet around here. Who has thought that thought or said that out loud? All of us probably have. If I'm being honest, I probably think that each day in my house because I got three young kids running about and peace can seem elusive. Well, you know, if you add into that all the extra stuff in our lives, job, relationships, and all of the other stuff, peace can just be so hard sometimes to come by. But you know, what we're going to see today as we dig into God's word on this is that there truly is a peace available for our everyday. As we journey throughout our days, there's a peace that's available. And it's not available to us just on the basis of our circumstances. See, in fact, it's not on the basis of, it's not dependent on us at all. But I'm getting ahead of myself. First, why don't you go ahead and pull out your sermon notes. Take those out. You can also pull this up on your VRBC app. You just tap the app, go to worship, and then look for this week's sermon. Super easy to take notes there if you want to take them that home with you there. But the passage that we're going to be in is Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 9 together. And so while you pull that up, let me set the context just a little bit for you. The Apostle Paul is the author of this letter, and he's writing it to a city in northern Greece called Philippi. And it's a prominent city, but it is kind of a smaller city. And he actually helped start this church plant there several years earlier in a second missionary journey. And so he had a deep love for these people, and he knew them well, so much so that even though Paul himself was in prison in Rome while he was writing this letter, see, his thoughts weren't on himself, but his mind was set on encouraging and equipping the Philippians in their faith. And here's what's so remarkable to me about that. While so many of us would be tempted to have our peace and joy robbed by our circumstances, Paul, he writes this joy-filled letter from jail. And he does it, I think, to show us that peace isn't dependent on our situations, but on our Savior. And this truth really permeates this book, and it's one of the reasons why Philippians is probably my favorite book in all of Scripture. And the passage that we're reading from here is quite possibly the most beautiful. And that's a bold statement. But lean in as we read this together. Hear the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, have you ever had that experience, maybe on a Sunday morning, when you're kind of in a bad mood because you had a hard week? Has that ever happened to anyone out there? It's definitely happened to me. Maybe on that day, everything seems to just be going wrong. And so you're heading into church and it's raining, but then all of a sudden you remember you forgot your umbrella at home. And your kids maybe are fighting in the back seat. Your spouse isn't talking to you because you guys had a fight earlier that week. And all the good parking spots are taken because you're running late. But when you finally do find that parking spot, you come into the worship center, you look up and you realize that all the good seats in the back are already taken. And so you got to migrate and come up front. You got to sit closer to the staff down here, which is a real bummer, right? Nobody wants to sit that close. But when you finally get settled in, some overly excited pastor just pops up on the stage and says, "Let's rejoice in the Lord today." If you're being honest, what you want to say at that moment is, "No thanks. If you truly knew what was going on in my life, I don't think you'd be able to rejoice either." And in some ways, as our passage opens up, Paul feels like that overly excited pastor to me. He starts preaching at us to rejoice. And just in case we missed it, he says it again, rejoice. And on top of that, he continues and he boldly tells us to not be anxious about anything, if that was even possible. And if that's not hard enough, he tells us to only think good thoughts all the time. And then to model our life exactly after him. I mean, he's a church planter, a missionary, given his life for the case of the gospel. He tells us to model our lives after him. And if that wasn't challenging enough, let's also remember that Paul is writing to a church that is experiencing all kinds of troubles of their own. From earlier in the text, we know that they were facing some external opposition from false teachers. And they were also experiencing some internal division through strife happening with disagreeing members. And so how in the world could Paul tell them to just rejoice? You know, I truly was struggling with that thought as I was studying this passage over the last few weeks. And you know, I was meditating on it and thinking about it. But eventually, I discovered three words that truly did change my perspective. And I think they could change your perspective too. The power of these three words can truly allow you to experience a peace that maybe you've never experienced before, or in a level and a continuance that you have before. And you know, that's truly what I've been praying for each of you this week, that God would fill your hearts and your minds with his amazing peace. And those three words are this. They come from chapter 4, verse 4. They are rejoice. Say this with me, church. In the Lord. I want you to underline those words in your sermon notes, if you would. We rejoice in the Lord. See, we don't rejoice in the circumstance. We rejoice in our Savior. In the Lord. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we're rejoicing because of who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us. And we can truly always rejoice because Jesus is always the same. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he's the same. And his promises, they're always sure. And I believe if you and I can truly get this truth today, it really will change our lives. It will make an immense difference in your lives. And it will make an immense difference in the people who know you as they see something different in you. Because so many people are filled with fear. And they're weighed down with worry. And you know, we really do have an opportunity to be a witness to something different, something greater, someone greater. You know, I was reading a survey this week, and it said that 86% of people, when asked, would describe themselves as worriers. 86%. Now, the other 14% are just liars, but that's okay. On average, Americans spend about 1 hour each day, worrying. And here's something interesting about that. Out of all of that time that we spend fretting about the future, do you know 85% of it, all that stuff that we worried about, it never actually happens. 85% of it. But for some reason, it seems to just be part of our human condition. We're frail. We're fearful about the future. And I'm no different. And that might not seem like a big deal. But the reality is, worry is kind of like a weight on our shoulders. And so it saps our strength as we journey through life. And it can definitely steal our peace and joy. And the sad truth is that there truly is always something to worry about. I mean, have you ever noticed how when you're young, you worry about what you're going to do when you get older? And then when you're a little bit older, you start worrying about what your kids are going to do. And then when you're older still, you worry about what your kids' kids are going to do. I mean, it truly never goes away, worrying. And we worry about all kinds of fears and doubts. They always fill our minds. So we fret about the future, about our job, about our spouse, about our kids, about our health, about our house. And those are just some of the big things. But maybe if you're like me, you even worry about some of those small things too, about what clothes we're going to wear or cars we're going to drive. And just to be vulnerable with you for a moment, for Tony and I right now, one of the things that's weighing us down with worry is providing for all of our kids, but especially for one who's struggling with special needs. See, we're constantly thinking about how to make his life better and our life more manageable. And at times, we feel like we're failing either way that we go. If we try to make it easier in our house with a lighter routine, what we feel is whether or not we're doing enough. And if we try to do a more rigorous schedule, more activities, more therapy, more help, we feel like we're stressing them out. And so either way we go, we feel like we're weighed down with worry. And I don't know what you might be facing right now in your life, but chances are high, I mean really high, that you're weighed down with a worry. There is some anxiety that's welled up inside of you. Maybe you're having difficulty sleeping or being productive at work because you're thinking about it, stewing on it. Or maybe it kind of just cropped up all of a sudden. And so it's just new to you. It's a difficult decision you have to make or something in the future you're not sure of. But whatever it is, what I want you to do is I want you to think about that for a moment and then just write it down on your sermon notes. I want you, just a few words to describe that situation, write it down, ask yourself, what is my major problem today? Write it down there. And hopefully the stressor is not sitting next to you, because if they are, you can just write in code, but I truly do. I want to encourage you, just write down a few words there in your notes. And in the time that remains today, what I want to do is I want to walk us through two amazing truths in our passage about the mind-blowing peace that is available to all of us each day if we're willing to let God wear the weight of our burdens. And my hope is that when we leave here, we'll experience a peace that maybe we've never experienced before. It's like a weight being lifted off of our shoulders, even in the midst of the storms that are going on in your life. And so point number one is this. I want you to write this down. Point number one is that peace is a gift. Peace is a gift. You know, this is an incredible reality. Peace is granted and given. It's not manufactured and earned. It's a gift from God. See, I don't know if you caught it, but at the very end of our passage in verse 9, it says that our God is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. And what that means is that he is the source of it. He and he alone is the one who has a monopoly on peace. He's the creator of it, and he holds the rights to it. And the good news is that it flows like him, it flows from him like a fountain. And so if you want it, all you have to do is go to him to get it. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're settling for substitutes. And this is so key, because so many people are looking for peace in all the wrong places. And it breaks my heart. Some people believe that peace is found on the inside, that we can muster it up on our own strength by thinking enough good thoughts about ourselves, or by doing enough good deeds to convince ourselves that we truly are worthy of it. Others of us believe that peace is found on the outside. And so if we just remove ourselves from the stress of everyday life and kind of retreat to a secluded location where no one else can bother us, that would be peace. And while both those ideas may give you a temporary sense of relief, what they won't give you is what you're really wanting, and that is a soul rest. It's a soul rest where you know that all is right in the world because you know that God has everything under control. You know, for those of us who truly believe that, in this passage, Paul is encouraging us and challenging us to continually fix our mind on good and godly thoughts, things that are pure and excellent and praiseworthy, to fill our minds and our hearts with that because we know that the future is bright because God holds the future in his hands. It's a promise that God has everything under control so we can leave it up to him. You know, I don't know if you've ever come to that point of surrender yet, but it truly is a weightlifting and soul-freeing experience when you acknowledge for the first time that you're not in charge. God is. And you believe that journeying with him each day is the only way that you'll get where you need to go. See, that's peace. And this is, in fact, what Jesus offers all of us, the ability to be at peace with God, with one another, and even in our own hearts. And here's how Jesus promises that to us in John chapter 14. Let's put that up here on the screen. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift. It's peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give, no one else can give it, is a gift that the world cannot give. We don't need to look to the world for that. So don't be troubled or afraid. He's saying, come to me. And the peace that he gives and the gift that he's giving us is something that no one else can give us. But you know, it's not just forgiveness of sins. It's actually a gift that keeps on giving in the form of the Holy Spirit inside. See, and he starts to produce inside of us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He produces those qualities in our life to the extent that they start bubbling up inside of us and then spill over and they run into contact with others and others see something different in you. And it's all because of what the Spirit is doing inside. And that's why Paul can write this in verse 5. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. See, if the Lord's not near, we can't be gentle to all people. But if the Lord is near, then we can be gentle. You know, I don't know if you've ever really tried to pray for your enemies or to pray for those who persecute you or to actually love what you consider the unlovable, those people who are the most difficult for you to love. It's really, really hard. And a few years ago, I went to Thailand on a mission trip. Actually, with several of you here, and it was an amazing experience. One of the highlights for me was the chance to meet a family who were exiles there because of persecution they were suffering back in their homeland of in the Middle East. And so the father of this family was standing up in front of the church, and we were sharing his testimony one night. And they began to share some of the horrific atrocities that he and his family were facing back there. His friends and his neighbors, they were being burned and brutalized. Just tragic, tragic stuff. And so I thought it would be natural for him to kind of want revenge or justice for those things. But what was so amazing to me is there was not an ounce of vengeance in him. See, seeing his sincere faith in a good God who had miraculously saved he and his family, he was grateful. And then to see how he still loved and prayed for even those enemies back there, that they would repent and come to know Christ. It truly was touching. In fact, it was mind-blowing to see that this man could suffer so much and yet be so gentle and kind. Why do I have any excuse? William Hendrickson defines peace as the smile of God on the soul of a believer. See, this man was being smiled on by God. And it was God smiling back at me through him. And I'm definitely not as far along in my faith journey as this man. But at least seeing him lets me know that it's possible. And if you were to ask him, I know, he would be the first one to tell you that the only way it's possible is because Jesus Christ is on the inside giving him that strength. And that leads me to this next point. God can and will get you through anything that you're going through. You can trust him. And one of the ways that he does that is by allowing his peace, his presence, his Holy Spirit to act as our guardian. That's the second thing. Write this down. Peace is a guard. This image of a warrior standing guard over our spiritual life was just so encouraging to me this week as I was studying this passage. So I want you to take a look at what Paul goes on to say in verse 6 and 7. He's talking about praying to not be anxious. And so in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we can present our request to God. Here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, this word here, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This word here in the Greek that we translate as guard is actually a military term. And it means to keep watch over or to hold in custody. And so I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to picture this in your mind. When you think about God's peace, I want you to think about a foot soldier. And he's standing at attention in front of the door of your heart. And he's standing there holding in custody all the negative thoughts, the shame-filled, fearful, ridiculous thoughts that end up filling our mind. And it's the Spirit of God, his peace, that's guarding us like a well-trained foot soldier, not allowing anything contrary to Christ to enter uninvited. And we do know that all of us will experience those thoughts at times, those thoughts of past regrets. Maybe it's a fear of failure or doubts about God's goodness. But here's the good news for us today. It's that the Spirit of God is stronger and more powerful than those thoughts that fill your mind. And he's also more powerful than the one who put those thoughts in your mind in the first place. So his peace is a well-trained foot soldier, and he's helping you to take captive every thought that is contrary to Christ, and it helps you make it obedient to Jesus Christ. And even when we hear maybe those uninvited guests are kind of knocking at the door of our heart, and they're saying, let me in, instead of entertaining it with worry, here's what God has given us. He's given us yet another weapon, and that weapon is prayer. And so don't miss this. See what Paul says. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but read this with me. In every situation. Read it again. In every situation. When do we pray? In every situation we pray. One theologian writes that peace is the fruit of believing prayer. Peace is the fruit of believing prayer. It's the product of a heart filled with faith enough to go to an almighty God and give him our concerns. That's peace. And the fact is that there is nothing too great for God's power, and there's nothing too small for his fatherly concern. You know, pretty much every day at our house, I'll hear one of our kids say this. They'll say, I'm going to tell mommy. I'm going to go tell mommy. You know, and it could be for any number of reasons. Maybe they had a toy that was stolen, and so I'm going to go tell mommy. Or maybe somebody's teasing them, and so what did they say? I'm going to go tell mommy. Just about anything is fair game for those that statement there. And I think we all know why. It's because my kids believe, rightly, that their mommy cares and can help them with that concern. And the same is true with our Heavenly Father. See, whatever causes us concern is of concern to Him because He cares for us. And so we can pray about any number of things, everything. We can pray about ourselves, about others. We can pray about the weather. We can pray about the past, the present, the future. It's all fair game. But here's the key. It all must be done with a thankful heart, knowing that it's a good God that we're praying to, who can be counted on to provide for our every need. And so let me ask you to kind of wrestle this thought with me just for a moment. Wrestle with this for me. What if you thought about the last day or two? And you thought about, in those days, all the time, you added it up, that you spent worrying. And what if, instead of worrying, you replaced all of that time with praying? Replace the worry with prayer. What difference do you think that would make in your life? What difference do you think that would make in your marriage? What difference would it make for the relationships, the important people in your life as they see you doing that? You know, for me, I think it would truly affect my level of peace. I'd see something different in me, the people that I love, and they'd be drawn to it. Because here's why. It's because the peace that God gives is the only type that is literally mind-blowing. It's literally mind-blowing. The word translated in our passage as transcends, this word down here, transcends. It's actually a compound word. And it's made up of two Greek words. And it's on the next slide here so you can see it if you want to write that down. But it's two words. The first is a preposition, hooper. And the second is echo. It's a verb. And that first word, hooper, is where we get our word hyper from. And what it means is over and above. And echo means to rule or to reign. And so here's the idea. It's the idea is that the peace of God is an over-the-top, hyperactive, hyper-effective type of peace. It's above any other. And it rules and reigns over everything else going on in your life, even including your human ability to understand how that's the case. It's literally mind-blowing and unexplainable. You know, perhaps you've been around people in your life who say and do some unexplainable things because they have the peace of God in your life. I mean, maybe you've been at a funeral and you've heard someone get up there and declare their faith in Christ is growing, even in the midst of this tremendous loss. Or maybe you've heard someone who has been through a terrible accident, or they're dealing with cancer, some health concerns, and they confess that they're grateful to God for it because He is using it for good. Maybe He's using it to teach them some new truths about His grace, or He's using it to reach other people, some new people for the gospel. It's these unexplainable things that happen in the life of those who have peace. And so here's the bottom line for us this morning. If you missed everything else, please don't miss this. The next time that you have a worry that's weighing you down, or you have a difficult decision to make, or there's a problem that's perplexing you, know this. When I give God my problems, He gives me His peace. That's the bottom line. When I give God my problems, He gives me His peace. It's the great exchange. See, the way we give Him our problems is prayer. And the amazing truths about His peace are that it's a gift freely given, and it's a guard that fills our hearts and our minds with God's goodness. And so as we close, let me challenge all of us this week to tackle that problem, that anxiety, that worry that we wrote down earlier in our text, tackle it this week in a better way. Instead of worrying about it, rejoice. Worship, knowing that God cares for your concerns He hears your prayers, and he's powerful enough to do something about it. And let that truth lead us to pray, be a praying people, that we surrender in faith, leaving the problem in God's capable hands. When we do that, I think we're all going to leave here feeling a lot lighter. And who knows? Maybe that feeling will help us move it into a habit where we turn worry into prayer and problems into peace. That is a promise we all need to claim. We just got to go to the right source, the God of peace. So let's turn to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your words are indeed true and that your promises are sure. We can count on it. And so we confess this morning that we need you and your peace in our lives. You're the only one who can give us that. And so we want to place all of our worries into your very capable hands. They're the same hands that made us, and they're the same hands that sustain this entire world. And so we know that you can be trusted, and you're powerful enough to do something about it. So Lord, help each one of us in this room, in our unique and varied situations, would you take the concerns off of our hearts? Would you lift that weight as we place them on you, Jesus? And do what only you can do. You can turn heavy burdens into heavenly peace. And as we continue praying, I want to ask each of us here to just spend a moment considering whether or not you truly have come to that decision point of surrender. Surrendering your life into God's hands. Because the reality is, without that, Scripture says that there is no lasting peace. The Bible states that the only pathway to peace is trusting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. He died to pay the penalty of our sins. And so when we believe in him and in his name, and we invite him to be Lord and leader of our life, God forgives our sins. He wipes them clean. And then he gives us his peace-producing spirit in our lives as we travel through the journey of faith. Amazing thing is that the weight of our shame and guilt is taken away forever. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if you've heard the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer of accepting, opening up your life to receive the gift and grace that Jesus offers. You can say a simple prayer like this in the quiet of your heart. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I give you my life. Please forgive me for all the ways that I've missed the mark. Show me how in the days ahead to live for you by your word and by your spirit. And know if you've just prayed that prayer, know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing and we join with them. You've just been adopted into God's family. And so don't keep that decision to yourself. Tell the person who brought you or let us know on the back of your connection card so we can follow up with you and support you in that journey of faith. But for those of us who maybe made that decision a while ago, we know that turning to Christ in prayer is something that we don't do just once. We do daily. So God, help us remember each day this week to give you our problems so you can give us your peace. It's in your name we pray, Jesus, for your glory. Amen.